When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Beyond Classified. I'm Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Lindsay Sharman. She is the host of Rogue Ways Podcast, author of 4 books, educator, and national board certified teacher with a master's in teaching. She tried her hardest to dampen the damage of the broken indoctrination system and protect children. She made it 14 years before giving up on that system. She's also a spiritualist and experiencer of other realms via astral travel, dream walking, visions, and interactions with other dimensional entities. She is also a Christian shaman fusion, spiritual guide, and teacher. Lindsay, welcome back. How you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me, Chris. I love hearing people read off that mishmash of unrelated things about me. It's pretty fun.
Yes. Oh, man. Bios are always fun. In any shape or form. And it's always a great conversation when you're on, as well as coming on Day Zero. I want to thank you for that. You're going to be on that one again, I think, what, next week, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever it is, it's going to be a good time. Always a great time. Always a great conversations. Tonight we're going to do it again. We're going to see what rabbit holes we can fall into. But first, how is everything with you in your neighborhood and local society? I know your neighbors pretty much here in Colorado, but how's the sheeple around you? Are they, you know, kind of going along with the latest insanity, or are they just going about their lives?
They seem to be going about their lives pretty much. We're considered conservative down here, so I think that that makes us less likely to have masks and vaxes going on. So, and that's what I seem to see. And when I go out, which is not that often, actually, but when I do, I notice not a lot of people are wearing masks, and there's no mandates here. And, you know, so they don't like have to, but still, even when the mandates first kind of fell away, a lot of people were still doing it. And it feels like it's just kind of less and less. So it feels like people are a little bit more sane down here, but the number of people still wearing masks is still pretty disturbing. The number of people who wear masks while like bicycling or alone on their, in their car, or those things are still happening. And I'm like, what would it take for you to take that off? You know, like what would have to happen? If it's as simple as Fauci says so, that's maybe sadder than anything else, but I think it's maybe permanent. And we talk about this sometimes, like, is it permanent? Are those people going to wear masks for the rest of their lives? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you think that this would happen as fast as it did, as far as, you know, the role of not only of vaccines, but now booster after booster, and all these new mandates that have just been pouring out, new agendas? It's like they're on a time crunch, and they're moving so fast. I don't see how more people are not just springing awake from this shit because they can see how many mistakes they're making by doing this, you know?
Yeah, it does feel really fast. And it's funny because at another side of it, it almost feels kind of slow. Like, it's weird. Like, we just didn't expect it to even really happen. I kind of thought like, oh, they're not really pulling any of this like homegrown terrorists and like the, you know, after the Patriot Act and all these things, like they didn't really pull all their guns out ever. So I was like, well, they had it. They encoded these things into law. So like, why have they never really used it that much? And then this all happened so suddenly. So I like definitely didn't expect it. And it's a different methodology than I expected, right? The medical mandate route is interesting and the medical martial law. But yeah, when you see things like UN medical tanks rolling out in Australia, I'm like, who can look at that and go, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm going to go get my booster. Or like, you know, I really, I want to respect everyone's right. I want to try real hard to respect everyone's right to do whatever they want. And I do. But it has shocked me how far some people have come and then suddenly gotten their vaccines. Like, you know, they've gotten all this way to, and they see it all. And they know everything. They know the, you know, New World Order. They know the agenda. They know Agenda 21. Like, all of this stuff, they know what's probably in these things and that it's unlikely maybe that you'll get a saline shot if those even exist, you know, or that you wouldn't want to bet or take a chance on that possibility. And then they still like break and go do it. And I'm just like, what happened to you? And then those people are having people I know who have just now gotten their shot after all of this are having adverse reactions. And I'm like, well, I hope you survive. Like, it's terrifying to me. Way more terrifying than a cold could ever be.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I hate any speculative kind of conversation about the vax. You know, people who automatically say, yeah, it's full of nanobots that are going to take over your immune system and turn you into a transhuman robot. You know, I'm sure that there is plenty of things. Because it's possible. I agree. Anything is possible. After 2020, everything's a consideration. But with the vaccination, I think you have to be very careful. But I also think you have to bring as much information to the table as possible. Bring as many of these theories and people who have these thoughts about what could be or are actually doing the research, doctors, scientists, people with credibility, to the table to talk about this stuff. I'm having Del Bigtree on next month. That's going to be a great show. And I want to get more people who know about what's going on with this vax, you know. In the medical field, it's hard, though. It's hard to find people who come out to talk about this stuff, and I know there's a few. But I heard a voice clip today, and it was from an anonymous doctor. So this is something that I really don't enjoy bringing up, but it was frightening what this doctor had to say about what she has, the information she's come across about what they're doing with the vaccines. It's what's in them. And it was somewhere along the lines of, you know, your first shot has, you know, more saline, but a little bit of this harmful material that they're putting in there that eventually it builds up with each booster. And it's meant to honestly kill you guys. It's meant to reduce your immune system, reduce your white blood cells so they can't fight anything, and basically give you AIDS at the end. You know, I've heard this so many times from so many different researchers. They're trying to give you AIDS, and it's like it's hilarious at first. Like, yeah, right, this is like the worst sci-fi movie plot I've ever heard. This can't happen. But it, you know, it may be happening. This is terrifying. You know, if this is what they're trying to do, slowly kill a lot of the population for depopulation purposes, like we've heard for years. Fuck, man. You know, we're living in some times right now.
Yeah. No, it's terrifying. And there are, even in addition to that, you know, there's people who seem to be providing evidence who are doctors that, you know, blood before and blood after these injections, the blood before is happy little round, you know, red blood cells, and the blood after is these stacked weird things where some people are like, it's nanobots. I'm like, no, it's the blood cells are dehydrated and they can't get oxygen and they're all just trying to clump together. That's all they can do. They're doing their best, but they can't do anything else. And these are these clots people are experiencing. A lot of the adverse reactions seem to be surrounding clotting. And these are some of the reasons why it's clotting.
Yeah, and she said the way it works, it will start to attack like that, the individual person's weakest part of their biological system. Like if you have stomach problems, it's going to go for that first. And it's going to look like it's because of your stomach problem. You know, it's insane, the stuff that she was saying. But I can't doubt it. I can't, you know, throw any of this stuff off the table just because she's an anonymous doctor and I don't have the white papers on it. We have to consider this stuff. We really do, because people are being forced to take this, being forced out of fear, out of losing their jobs, out of losing their freedoms, out of going anywhere, out of flying, out of all this stuff, to be forced to be injected with this stuff. You got to think about it, people. Why are you being forced to take this? They don't want you around.
No. And if it was for your benefit, why don't they give everyone a free gym pass? Why don't they give everyone, you know, free water filters or something? Why don't they give everyone like however much time a year to take vacation and like really just rest deeply? You know, there's like a million things we know for sure over many decades have been proven to improve your health. They're not doing any of those things. They're doing a brand new experimental weird ass injection and then doing all the things you said to try to pressure people into it. Taking it. Why do you have to pressure me if it's so good for me and it's so great? And why can't I wait if it's so good and so great? And why now? You know, and I just heard that Biden's supposed mandate about like, oh, 100 workers or more, and you have to like force everybody to get it or whatever. And all these jobs are doing it already. And all these people are feeling like, well, if that's the thing, then I guess I'll take it. Well, that's not even a mandate. It's a press conference. That's it. He announced it at a press conference and everyone treated it like it was the law. And I'm like, wow, we're to this point where we don't even have to have laws passed because people are, you know, and maybe including me sometimes, like too reactive. You see a headline or you see a thing and you're like, oh, what is this thing? You know, like I must react to this instead of researching it deeply or thinking, you know, I like to think I do most of the time, but I know I'm guilty now and then. And I think all of us are. And it's things like this that kind of blow my mind. Like this was,
you see something like everyone has to know this right now.
Yeah. You're like, whew, take a breath. Yeah. We're still going to be here tomorrow. Well, most of us, hopefully.
Maybe.
But this AIDS thing you're talking about too is really disturbing. And Fauci was connected to the AIDS epidemic. And he did had a big hand in killing off, a lot of people say, a lot of the community that was, you know, mostly gay and experiencing these things, especially with the use of, remdesivir. You know, I keep hearing more and more about this, that actually as a treatment kills you. It shuts down your kidney and it gives you basically pneumonia and other things. And it's something like 30 to 60% of people are likely to experience kidney failure if they take this. Well, yeah, that's probably going to kill you, especially like you were saying, if you already have weakened aspects of your health and immune system, which people with HIV do. So of course, a lot of them are going to be harmed by this. Oh, it's really interesting. You know, that he's got his hands in both of these and they're so similar. And we've been hearing since the beginning how there's parts of the alleged coronavirus, alleged DNA or RNA or whatever, that look exactly like HIV. So
It's terrifying. It is. Now, you were telling me something when we first connected and you sent me through Messenger that you're doing some research or maybe found out something about there is no autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
Tell me about
this
that.
This actually connects exactly to HIV. Too, which is really weird for me to look at. It connects to AIDS, to cancer, all cancers, and every autoimmune disease that anyone has ever heard of. And it's maybe too simple to be true, but sometimes, like Occam's razor says, the simplest answer is actually the correct answer. In fact, often it is. And so it's interesting to think, and I don't know if anyone out there or you, Chris, have heard of Patrick Jordan. He has a tiny little channel that people who are, it's like a cult classic. It's a very small channel on YouTube and it's called Vaccine Fraud. And he talks about how everything, like almost every ailment we could ever look at is actually HPV. And HPV is human papillomavirus. And whether that's true or not, we do know that HPV is one of the most wide-ranging and variable, adverse pathogens out there. And that it's everywhere. It's all sorts of things. And the more we're looking at things and the more he's looking, he's a doctor as well. And the more he's looked at things, he said, literally everything is this. Literally every pathogen that I see people have, that's not a parasite and not a negative bacteria, is what we call HPV. And I know people don't want to talk about whether viruses or whatever. I don't really care if you think viruses are real or not. Call it whatever you want. It's HPV for now, right? And so when someone was first showing me this and I was looking at his videos, I was like, maybe, right? Like maybe everything's HPV. I know it causes cervical cancer. So if there's a virus that can cause cervical cancer, couldn't there be a virus that causes other cancers? Well, there are cancers that are caused by viruses, and they're also in the HPV family of viruses. And so how many cancers are actually caused by viruses? Well, I've asked health practitioners this and they laugh at me. They're like, oh, if it was that easy, someone would have figured it out by now. Like, well, I mean, there's a lot of things that I think are pretty civil that we haven't figured out by now, because you're not supposed to look at it and you're not supposed to question it and you're not supposed to think about it. So maybe it's true, right? Maybe cancers all come from HPV. Okay. Well, whether that's true or not, I have this journey that I've been having my whole life and didn't know about, that is intimately connected with HPV and what they call autoimmune. And I didn't really know it. So I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis when I, maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. And I had been experiencing a lot of lethargy, and I suddenly couldn't really like do anything, and everything was sad and depressing, and like I gained weight and I just didn't feel very good. And I thought I was getting old. My doctor laughed at me and she's like, no, you're like 35 or whatever. You're not old. And she's like, you probably have something going on. Let's check your thyroid. And she's like, yep, you have what's called Hashis, which are the immune system, you know, cells that are being produced to try to protect my thyroid. Most people have about 10 when you test it. There's like the whatever 10 micrograms. I have no idea, but 10 is like the level. Mine are at 999, which means that it's actually higher than that. It just like couldn't like be tested beyond that, right? So really, really advanced and severe Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And so I got some thyroid medicine, and she's like, you know, some people don't eat gluten or something, and then that seems to help, and like, you'll go on your way and you'll feel better. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, as time went on, I didn't feel better anymore. In fact, the past few years have been a bit rough, and I've had a lot of like random symptoms and weird things. And I went back to my doctor recently and I was like, you know, I feel like something's going on with my thyroid and or whatever. I just don't feel as good. Like maybe we need to up my dosage. And she did some blood work and she's like, oh, we actually need to lower your dosage. It's for whatever random reason, it's, you know, affecting your heart and that's more dangerous. And that could give you like a heart attack or whatever. So we have to lower the dose. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, that's great. I don't want to take this medication at all. So let's lower it until it's gone. But when I don't take it, if I skip it, I feel worse. So, and I lower it, am I not going to feel worse? And I've been feeling worse. And so what are we going to do about my symptoms being worse? She's like, oh, well, you know, they just get worse. They just do. And they just will. And I'm like, well, till when? Like till you die. I'm like, well, what? Like,
whoa.
So I'm just going to suffer until I die. And like, no, what can we do about this? She's like, oh, you know, some people like don't eat gluten. I'm like, yeah, I've heard that. Like I don't. So what else? And then, so it was really depressed. It's really depressing when your doctor tells you like, you're going to suffer until you die. And that's the only hope you have. I was like, yeah, pretty sure that can't be true. Right. but it's depressing. It's hard to deal with. And so I was kind of floundering in that. And then really randomly, I got stung by a hornet for the first time since I was 4. I've been stung by a bee one other time in my life. I was 4 and I suddenly got stung by this hornet. Hornet stings hurt really bad, by the way. I don't know if anyone knows that. And I was really angry. I was like, I didn't do anything to you. Why did you sting me? And it hurt and it itched and it was whatever. And then life went on. Well, the next day I got really sick. I got a really bad flare-up. You know, when you have autoimmune disease, they say you have flare-ups. And I got a really bad flare-up. My bones all ached. They pulsed with aching. Like, and I've never had this happen. Like every bone in my entire skeleton was like pulsing with aching. I was like super hot, and then I'd be really cold, and then like just all these symptoms that were horrifying. I couldn't do anything, and it was really, really bad. And I was like, this is the worst flare-up I've ever had. And I'm hearing her voice echo in my head like, you're just gonna get worse until you die. And I was like, this is how bad it can be this early. Like, what is the rest of my life gonna be like? So it was a very, very depressing, super harsh, and really physically painful as well. You know, the emotional and the mental is like half the battle, and then the physical pain is the other half the battle. And
yeah,
it's pretty bad. So man. Yeah, so I sometimes go whine on Facebook or social media or whatever, and I'm like, my life sucks and I hurt and things are bad. And luckily I do, because like the couple times I do, someone like swoops in to like save me. So this happened this time. I went on, I was like, I'm just having this worst flare up. My bones hurt. Like, this is horrible. And someone was like, you know, I've heard you talk about autoimmune before, and maybe this thing will help you. And they took some screenshots of this book and they sent it to me, and it just like rung. I just was reading these little bits and I was like, you know what? I don't even care. I'll just try whatever this guy is saying. And I was like, he's telling me to eat this, this, and this, and to like cut out more of these other things that I've been eating. And so I'm just going to do it. And I'm going to order the book in the meantime. And when it gets here, I'm going to follow everything he says, like, cause I just have to try something. So I started eating some of the things he said, such as parsley, cilantro, grapefruit, ginger, turmeric, papaya, there's some really like dense nutrition things. And I blend them up in this little blender and just drink them all with fiber and juice and all. Started juicing celery and started juicing cucumber. And within a few days, I was like, holy crap, I feel better than I felt in years. Like my normal energy level is ridiculously high. Like I do like too much. Like I'm very up and at 'em and go, go, go. And I was finally back to that for the first time in years. Like the medication had helped a bit and I kind of got, but I always had like a head fog and I was always just kind of lethargic. It was harder to get things done. I'd have to take longer breaks. But even with just this little dose of nutrition that this guy had suggested, I got just really rejuvenated really quickly. And I was like, this is amazing. So I got his book and I started reading and he was like, well, there's no such thing as autoimmune disease, first of all. And I was like, what is he talking about? I have autoimmune disease and he's helping me through it. And he's like, you have what's called Epstein-Barr virus and nobody understands it and nobody has studied it, not much at least. And maybe in 10 or 20 years, the medical industry will catch up. But for now, they're really confused. And all they do is tell you, you have Hashimoto's, you have Lyme disease, you have this, you have that, you have that. Because there's all these clusters and families of Epstein-Barr and they all act slightly differently, but really they all follow this pattern. So I guess I'll stop and take a breath in case you want to say something.
No, that is fascinating. So did you find out any more information about this Epstein-Barr disease and like, you know, is this reversible? And, you know, tell us a little bit more about what this is.
Yeah, this is totally reversible. And I genuinely, if anyone is listening to this, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but it is worth going to check out this person's book and his work and heal yourself and cure yourself, if I'm allowed to say those words. I don't think I'm supposed to say those words. But...
No, of course not. You're going to get somebody's knocking on your door in a minute.
Yeah. Go talk to your doctor about it. So I'll tell you first that I was reading this and he tells you kind of like, you know, here's probably what happened to you. And he told me my own life story, which no one had ever pieced together these various things. I had never pieced together these various things. And he was telling it to me like he had read it out of my diary. And I was like, whoa, how would he know this, right? How would he know? And how would it be fit this exact pattern unless it is this thing? So he said, probably sometime kind of early in life, you got mono, scarlet fever, what's the other one? Glandular fever. And there's one more that I'm forgetting, right? One of these things they get classified as, but it's all the same virus. And you maybe got really sick. And I remember I was like, oh yeah, when I was 7 or so, I was really sick with what they called scarlet fever. And it was the sickest I had ever been. And I was scared. And I remember that. A lot of people get mono, and he's like, you could have gotten these things and not even really noticed. And some people are even born with these. And so they don't have that part of this story in their mind because they didn't really experience it that way. But I did. I was like, check one. He's like, but you know, time went on and that was it. And it was gone. And then at some point in your life, you experienced something like pretty stressful and you had some kind of a flare up and they probably told you that you had rheumatoid arthritis or something like that. Well, before that, even he's like, you may have been classified as autoimmune general autoimmune disease without any specifics. And I was like, oh my God, my doctor, when I was 12, I had all these weird rashes and like welts. I had really sensitive skin, they said. And he's like, it's probably an autoimmune thing, but it's kind of nonspecific. I was like, whoa, nailed it again. I had this really stressful occurrence. This man actually abducted me when I was leaving a bar and he dragged me down the street. It was horrifying. That's its whole own story. I got away. I'm okay. I escaped. Everybody should know, by the way, that if that happens to you, you can become a dead weight and they will drop you and you can run. And that's what I did. But that was very stressful, super traumatizing. And in my trauma response to that, I got swollen hips, knees, and ankles to the point where I couldn't walk for 3 days. Wow. And I was like, what the hell is this? Like just a random swelling up of all these things. So when I finally got to a doctor, he was like, you probably have rheumatoid arthritis, but we would have to test you right during the flare up. And since it's over, we don't really know. And so you'll just come back if something happens. I'm like, okay, I maybe have rheumatoid arthritis, but no one cares. And it's not important, I guess. And this is another check mark. And he's like, you know, and then at some point, if you still hadn't found, you know, just if you're not some people randomly heal from it because they're just exceptionally healthy eaters and whatever. And so that can happen, right? And he's like, and if you're not one of those people, you probably had another stressful occurrence, maybe a breakup, lose your job, you move or whatever, and you maybe had another. And then this time you were probably, if you're at this point now, you were probably diagnosed with Hashimoto's, thyroiditis, or lupus, or Lyme disease, or any of these number of things. And I was like, that's exactly what happened. I lost my job. I didn't lose my job. I was quitting my job. I was transferring jobs. I was losing my husband. I was divorcing my husband. I was selling my houses, all these things at once. And that's when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's. So I was like, clearly this fits the pattern. Oh, and the final cherry on top was he said, you might have flare-ups if these random things occur. And he lists all these things. And one of them is hornet stings. And I was like, go. Dude, okay, this is sealed, done. I have whatever he's talking about. Yeah.
It seems trauma and things that, like, stress and things of this nature are the key factors to this thing, right?
The triggers, yeah.
Yeah.
So he describes it in detail. He's like, you know, this virus infected you at whatever point way back when, glandular fever, scarlet fever, whatever. It loved it. It was like, woohoo, and your body tried to fight, and that's why you were really, really sick. And your body didn't fight it off, partially because there's a version of this virus that is good for us, is symbiotic, and that's another story. And another part is because it's just a really, really well-adapted, really smart virus. And it basically, he describes, digs in first to your liver, and it just hides there. It just waits. And that's part of how it tricks your immune system. Your immune system's like, oh, cool, we won. Except it's in your own organs. And wow. It's lying in wait for a couple things. One is any super toxic, like if you happened to like drink just a cup of heavy metals, it would definitely flare up, right? It loves heavy metals. Okay. And any other illness, it could also come up. All these little things, this is why I had like rashes and different things. It can kind of come out, but it waits for those really stressful moments because it loves adrenaline. Adrenaline dumps, which you'd have when you're in trauma. And because your immune system is frayed when you're stressed out, it's really dampened and depressed. And so it can't fight as well. And it knows that. So it waits for those times specifically to come out and attack you because you're less able to fight it off. So it's not like, you know, some people are like, oh, well then I did it to myself. Like I have to stop. I have to let go of my trauma. I have to like heal myself of my anger. And it's like, yeah, that's good, but it's not your fault that you had this very normal response to life, you know, and that you felt sad or hurt or scared or whatever. That's normal. It's not your fault. Like this virus is at fault. So yeah, it does respond to trauma. It does come out at these horrible times, and it does wait for those times to come out. Each time that it gets to have this like massive amount of food and this like nervous system and immune system that's depressed, and it gets to like another level of basically colonizing your body. So it gets into like yet another organ, yet another area. By the time it gets to your thyroid, this is like an advanced state. I mean, obviously I've had this now for 30 something years. And the thyroid is one of the last places before it basically kills you. Like you get cancer and you die, or you like have all these other ways, heart attacks and different things that it is essentially like weakening you towards, you know, like it's never going to be like the thing that killed you, just like AIDS, right? Yeah, That's how they describe it.
Right. Man. Yeah. Now, oh man, when you said, when you said that you started juicing and, you know, you got better, I need to get my ass a juicer. I need to get my ass some fruits because I've been saying this for so long and talking to numerous nutritionists and doctors and people in the healthcare that say juicing cures cancer. It cures all these things, all these ailments that people have could be taken care of by nutrition and juicing. I think it's amazing the benefits of something as simple as changing your diet to, you know, a vegetarian or juice diet, or, you know, I'm sure that you can still have meats. I don't know, you know, but, the juicing is the key from what I've heard to reversing a lot of this stuff, right?
Yeah. Including, you know, I have dear friends and relatives that I've seen cure themselves of hepatitis C through juicing as well. So there's a lot of things that can be done with juicing. I will add that this person, I'll finally tell you who it is. His name is Anthony William. Oh God. I always am like, is that right? I think that's right. Anthony William. And he's called the medical medium. And I always wait to say that as long as I can, because I know some people are like, oh, he's like a medium, like screw this guy. But I'll tell you, he described everything and now he's described the cure and it's working. So I don't really care where he gets his information.
Yeah, if you want, send me the links. I'll put it in the description. If people want to check it out while they're listening, that'd be great, because I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, it's worth anyone checking out, because the thing is, and he doesn't say this, but I'm just connecting this to my own experience. And again, going back to Patrick Jordan and the vaccine fraud and this HPV scourge that is, even normal medical doctors and nurses will admit to the HPV just ubiquity. It's everywhere. And there's a million versions of it. And it does all kinds of things, from like warts to, you know, actual sicknesses and whatever. But I'm connecting it to HIV as well, because I'm like, it sounds very similar to me. And a lot of people have speculated whether HIV is a form of HPV, human papillomavirus, because they have really similar patterns and really similar goals, right? Is to basically infest your, in the end, it wants to infest your nervous system and just eat all your energy straight off as you get numb. Like, it's really disgusting. But cancer, like I said, almost all cancers, I would say, I'm guessing, again, I'm not a doctor, but if a couple of them, a handful of them have been shown for sure to be HPV, why wouldn't the rest of them be? Like, most of them.
I'm at a point where I would be terrified to even go to an oncologist or get a cancer screening, just because I wouldn't want either a misdiagnosis or to be put on any kind of the medication that they give you for cancers, because it's just trying to slowly kill you. I don't even know if these oncologists know that they don't know shit, you know, that they don't know that they're killing people. The whole medical industry and pharmaceutical industry has just become so disgusting to me over the past few years, and the people that perpetuate it and work with it and you know, on the surface seem to be great people, doctors I've known my whole life, you know, I grew up with a doctor who was probably the biggest drug dealer in the southern Louisiana town that I was in, just prescribing opiates to everyone, you know, with a shoulder pain. He was responsible for a lot of deaths, and he's still a family doctor to a lot of my family, and it's sad, you know? It's really sad.
Well, they say that, like, the number one killer in the U.S., at least, is, like, medical malpractice, and you know what I mean? Like, is actually one of the largest reasons why people die. And I get, like you said earlier, I don't think the doctors or the nurses themselves are like, haha, let's get everyone.
Right.
Like,
yeah, of course.
Genuinely believe they're helping people, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
And that's
that
the saddest part.
Describe. Yeah. Right. And it is barbaric what we do to people, especially with cancer treatments. You know, and some people like get to this stage where I'm at, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, then they just develop these, I forget what they're called, cysts. And then it turns into cancer, and then they remove the thyroid. And like, that's the last thing you want to do. That's the last thing you ever want to do, is remove a part of your body. Yeah, all of these various things can be from this one virus. And so again, whether anyone out there listening thinks they have something like this, has been told they have autoimmune type things, or has been told maybe you've had cervical precancer from, you know, that's a type of HPV at least, all of those, whether you have any of them or not, these protocols are just healthy. They're just really great for you. So like, you could just try it and see if you feel way better, if you have a way clearer mind, if you have more energy, if you seem to pass parasites or something. Like, a lot of people can experience really positive health benefits from doing some of the stuff he says. And like we talked about, juicing, it's super easy. Like, you buy a juicer, you buy the cheapest, some of the cheapest vegetables are the ones that are,
I know, and I've been meaning to do this for so long, damn it.
Yeah, you just have to do it. And some of these juicers you could find at thrift shops, because people bought them and then like never followed through and then just gave them away.
Yeah.
So if you're like low on funds, I found so many juicers at thrift stores. But celery juice first thing in the morning is like the main part, that if you just did that, like, that would be fantastic for your whole day, your whole body and everything that you're doing. Before coffee, before any, like, you can have water or whatever before, but just celery juice. And he says 16 ounces, it's usually about one kind of stalk, one big bulk of stalk or whatever. It's like $1.60, like $2 or whatever. And then at night do cucumber juice, and just to finish things off at the end, and you can just do one cucumber, two, three cucumbers, whatever you want. Neither of these are super tasty. They're also not disgusting, you know, but like, just that part made me feel so much better. And then I just, like I said, he doesn't even recommend this. I just took like a list of like some of the things he mentioned that I liked best and just shoved them in a blender cup and like blend them with all the fiber still in it. Cause
yeah,
a lot of people really want the fiber. They're really attached to the fiber. They think the fiber is like really helping him. He has a whole spiel that he talks about where like,
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You probably don't really need this much fiber. The reason it's helping you pass things is not necessarily because you actually need fiber. It's because you need to unmuddy your digestive system, and the juicing actually does this better than the fiber could do. And you need to clear your liver. You need to clean your liver out, and that's going to help you continuously pass things more easily. So like a lot of people who like are really attached to fiber for those reasons, he explains really well why you probably don't really have to be. But if you do, you could do what I do and just juice the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah, and it's super sad, like you said, that people are going to automatically turn away or not give this guy any credibility because, you know, he calls himself the medical medium, or what did you say his name was?
Medical medium.
His title, medical medium. And, you know, things of this nature, any type of natural route that people are trying to take now, is it's become not only, you know, shunned from society and you're, you know, woo-woo or whatever, but it's kind of become dangerous for people to be part of society anymore if they're going to be participating in, I guess, you know, their own path in their own ways and their own healing and not going to the medical mafia for their cures. So it's, yeah, we're interesting times right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of nutritionalists and naturopathic doctors and holistic doctors and people who research the actual microbiology of all of these things and how they interact. And those are the people who could actually probably isolate and find the evidence that all of these are Epstein-Barr or HPV or whatever. Those people all tend to die.
Yeah.
They tend to get suicide-y, right, and have a lot of accidents. It's like, that's convenient. It's convenient that that's happening while at the same time, we're not funding any research into any of these things. We're not funding high dose vitamin C or, you know, juicing or any of that stuff, because I don't think Rockefeller Medicine wants to know the truth or wants us to know the truth. It's super empowering and freeing. Like, I might never go to my doctor again, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Corey Hughes is doing a little research on ivermectin and found out that it may have links to curing cancer as well. Wow. So, like, all these things that these alternative sources of healing have become dangerous for people to at least come out in on platforms and to large audiences and talk about. So it's, you know, it's very terrifying for some of those people. Now I want to get back to the brainwashing that's been going on behind the whole vaccination. I haven't told anyone the specific person that I talked to about this yet, but I'm going to say it because it's so heartbreaking for me, and I think people need to know how deep this brainwashing can go. My own dad, he's sick right now. He has, unfortunately, leukemia, and his doctor, the one I was mentioning earlier, the
same
largest
one?
Drug dealer in, he, you know, of course, recommended the vaccination to him. So yeah, he of course, both of my parents fell into the trap. They're vaccinated, both very ill now, even more ill than before. But the part I want to get to is I was having a conversation with my father the other day, and he's much older. He's set in his ways, so there's not much that he's going to be changing his mind about anymore. But he was telling me about one of his good friends that died recently, and he said, "Oh man, it's so tragic. So and so just died of COVID." And I immediately wanted to ask him, well, was he vaccinated? Did he get the vaccine recently? And before I could ask him that, and he's like, oh, and yeah, and just recently he got vaccinated a few weeks ago, and he got a booster. And I'm like, so you're not putting anything together here. I just didn't say anything. I was like, okay, that's tragic. That's awful. And I'm just thinking he died from this vaccination that he just got. You know, they classified it as COVID. So it's the level of brainwashing goes really deep. I experience it firsthand every day with people that I'm very close with, that me and the rest of my family, my siblings, they understand. They know what's going on. They you know, they're not stupid. My parents aren't stupid either. They're old and terrified, and they're going off of advice from a scumbag doctor who shouldn't be practicing anymore, who's been their family doctor forever. So this is what I'm sure a lot of people are dealing with right now in their own circles. And it's like a fight. They're turning us against our families, against ourselves. And by now, if you haven't chosen your camp or what side you're on, if you're going to get the vaccine out, it may be too late. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know, because another aspect of the division, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's just so sad. It's so hard
It's the way it is, man. You know,
it's awful. Sucks. Yeah. And we're all watching like our loved ones and our friends, just, it's like they're dead and they're not dead yet. Cause we're like, well, I mean, we can't even talk anymore apparently about almost anything. So you're basically not part of my life anymore. Not because I don't want, I'm like,
yeah,
but
I'll talk to anybody. I mean, anything. Like your views do not matter to me as far as our relationship and friendship go. I might disagree and try to have a conversation with you, but at the end of this conversation, I still want to be your friend. Not for that person, not for most other people these days. You know, it's turned them into psychos, but anyway, that's besides
the point. Well, and they're like ready to fight you because they know that you're like on the other side. And you're like, yeah, but I'm not ready to fight you. I don't care what you're doing. I love you. I hope that you're okay. I would like to tell you about turpentine or whatever like thing that might help you. And that's really sad. Another aspect of that division is this, because this is what I've been realizing lately too. Every time, this is anecdotal, but every time I hang out with people who have been vaccinated, I get sick afterwards. Not like sick, but my body is clearly having an issue with something. And it wasn't before. So it could be coincidence for sure. It's just me, small sample size. I get it, but it's really weird to me. And then I'm wondering, like, if the more boosters they get, is it going to get worse? Is it going to shed more? Am I going to react stronger? And are they going to call it COVID or something? Right. So you get the vaccine and die, you have COVID. If you're friends with people who have the vaccine and you get sick, it's COVID. Like, no matter what happens for the rest of time, it's COVID. And here's one more thing where I'm like asking myself, is it going to get to a point where I don't want to be around those people because I get sick every time? There's one more aspect of the division I never want to deal with, but I might have to at some point, depending on how, you know, much that seems to continue and how bad it might get. It's really, really gross. And one more thing that connects this vaccine back to this whole HPV thing. There's this Dr. Ryan Cole. He's a board certified pathologist. And he owns and operates his own diagnostic lab. And he has reported that in his practice and in the samples he's been getting, he's seeing 20 times more cases of HPV and cancer than before people started getting the vaccine in vaccinated patients. 20 times. That's, again, who knows? It's too big of a, there's no controls, you know, like who knows what it is causing these increases. Maybe it's not the vaccine, but it's a bit much to take in to see those two things happening at the same time. You know, I know correlation doesn't equal causation. And I also know it sometimes does, and we should look at it. It's terrifying to think about that, you know, and then are these people all going to have autoimmune, quote unquote, supposedly for the rest of their lives? Like everyone else, you know, I'm pretty sure. Here's the thing. when I was 28, I want to say, I went in, you know, and I had just had my HPV vaccines. Because my mom's a nurse and she's like, you should get them. They're great. They're new. Like, they're saving all these lives, and just in case. And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. It's a series of three vaccines. I got them within maybe 6 months at the most after my third vaccine. I went in for a pap smear and I had an abnormal pap smear, but it was severely abnormal. Like, it was advanced. And they were like, oh, you have cervical precancer. I was like, what? Like, I just got this vaccine exactly for that. I thought it was supposed to prevent that. And they're like, oh, maybe it was too late or maybe whatever. It was super aggressive. It progressed really quickly. And I was kind of freaking out and losing my shit. And, you know, I did all these things. I took like apricot seeds and like stuff. Stuff that the, you know, medical establishment doesn't promote. I like did all this stuff. I quit smoking. I started eating fruits and vegetables more. And luckily it went away, right? I was able to cure it and it's gone.
It's great.
Well, and I wasn't too awake to vaccines at the time. But late years later, people are like, oh, a lot of people who had the HPV shot got cervical precancer from it. I was like, oh, I think that happened to me. So there's one more example of the vaccine, again, seemingly giving someone cancer, a vaccine. But that was back then. And this one is so much different, so much newer. And who knows if it's also destroying your immune system specifically with those mRNA instructions and the spike proteins it's creating or whatever other proteins it's creating. And it's still carrying whatever other vectors that are causing these HPV, HIV, Epstein-Barr, cancer, quote unquote, autoimmunes, then that's a double, triple, horrifying whammy. I don't know. I don't want to, as we talk about often, imagine all of these people receiving this, dying or suffering for the rest of their lives. And I also see all the death and suffering that has been caused from these things before any of this COVID stuff even happened. So I have a hard time not imagining it.
Yeah, and that brings me to what I want to spend the next half of the show talking about is the ones that are in charge of this, that know what's going on, because somebody fucking knows what's going on. Somebody at the top knows what's in this, knows what the plan is, even if it's two or three people. Somebody knows what's going on. But I know it's a lot more than two or three people, probably. I don't know how organized it is. I don't know if it's like some Illuminati pyramid where, you know, it's all structured and there's people at the top control the people at the bottom, or if it's just a bunch of factions that are fighting for profits and, you know, control and power. I don't know. Either way, these people that are doing this or have any hands in this at all and have any knowledge at all about what's going on, and if you have the slightest inkling, you're going to have a bigger picture of what's going on as well, especially if you're involved in this. They're psychopaths, you know, plain and simple, and we follow them, and we've been following them blindly for a long time, and people don't see it. People don't see that we are just ruled. Our leaders are our psychopaths, and the denial and the cognitive dissonance from people that comes out whenever you try and tell them that, you know, a politician or their leader or somebody on TV or somebody head of a corporation is a psychopath and they may eat a baby, you know, and they just look at you like you're crazy. It's true. They are. We are ruled by psychopaths.
Oh, absolutely. And you can even see this. There's like, I can't think of exactly who, but you can find articles that are like almost bragging. They're like, oh, this like prominent leader and CEO and this other like leader and this politician, like they passed the psychopath test. And like, why are you publishing this? Like, don't you want to hide that? Like, that's weird that you don't care that you're a psychopath. Wow. But I think, like you said, like we're so conditioned to accept this behavior and these types of people and to even celebrate them and follow them that we don't even really notice anymore. And I don't know if many people, you know, when people hear psychopath or even sociopath, they think of like those serial killers we were given to like focus on, right? Like, here's what a psychopath is.
Yeah, I think there's another show about a psyop right there with serial killers, but yeah, we'll touch on that later.
Yeah, because who's the bigger serial killer? Like someone like Fauci or someone like that? But we don't talk about that, right? So that we've been given that image and like Saw and like these movies, and we're like, that's a psychopath. Well, a psychopath is actually by definition someone who cannot feel empathy or sympathy, period. They do not have the ability to do it, which sometimes leads them to go seeking, you know, adrenaline and whatever, or power and control, because it's as close as they can get to feeling, some people think, or whatever. But they can't, they cannot feel it. It's really easy for them then to do anything at all that harms life. They don't have the connection to life that we have. They don't have the reverence for it. They don't have love for it. They have no emotion. And people can't even really understand that. It's really important to sit with it for a while and really, like, you know, like, feel it. Like, what would it be like if you felt nothing? What would prevent you from harming other people if you felt nothing at all and you had no attachment to this and you had no sympathy or empathy? Nothing. What would? Nothing. The thing that keeps us human and keeps us from harming each other and keeps us in communities and keeps us in empathy and sympathy is our emotion and our connection to life and our reverence for life at the base core of things, right? And sociopaths, a little bit better, maybe you would say, but still almost as bad. Like, they technically can, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
They tend not to feel those things. And then we ignore completely the entire spectrum of people who are called personality disorders, right? People with personality disorder are on this spectrum too. And especially because, when was it that you started noticing, Chris, that we had this, like, push to notice mental health awareness, and, like, everyone should think about mental health?
It's been the past few years.
Right?
Yeah.
So now we have this huge push to normalize mental health disorders, including borderline personality disorders. And I think that's intentional. I don't think it's because they care about the, you know, people that have depression or anxiety or these sort of things that most people struggle with from time to time, and some people more severely. So that's not the main reason, right? I really think it's more to get us even more conditioned to allow the type of behavior that borderline people, sociopaths and psychopaths consistently exhibit. And this is literally destroying our entire country.
Well, their system is kind of built to groom psychopaths, right? I'm sure that they start at, you know, in a family, multi-generational family level at a young age with basically torture techniques and MK Ultra style torture to get this person to the level where they are a psychopath, where they have no empathy, to where they can run this company efficiently, and, you know, all the things that we look forward to seeing in a you know, politician or corporate guru or someone like that. You know, I think that's a lot is what's going on, as well as these people have been groomed from a very young age to be that way, and that's why it just, you know, it comes so naturally to a lot of people in power. What do you think? Do you think that a lot of people in these high levels are just, you know, tortured from a young age?
Yeah, it seems to be, right? We hear a lot of stories about it, and we seem to see it in these families that are older, you know, and that they sometimes even more openly talk about the types of abuse and neglect that they went through. And it does seem even in those cases, somewhat ritual or intentional, you know, like, well, why would you treat a child like this? Unless you wanted to. And this is like an induced psychopathy, you know, built from the evacuation of self that comes from severe trauma, which not all psychopaths, well, actually most psychopaths have physical malfunctioning or deformity in their brain that literally prevents them from, you know, experiencing life as we would say is normal. But this is like a induced version, right? Where you psychically or mentally or emotionally abandon yourself and evacuate yourself, in which case you don't have connection to your emotions. You don't have connection to those things. So it is psychopathy, but I wonder if it would be classified differently.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, in some way because of that difference. But who cares? Because to us, there are still people who are completely willing to create harm, you know, intentionally in the world and do things like, because this is the thing we always get asked, right? Why would they do this? Or how, who could do this? Well, psychopaths could do it. And why? I mean, who, take your pick. Like, money is one, power, yeah, control, like, all kinds of things.
I'd like to know how far the occult aspect goes and how much of a trickle-down that is from the ones at the top that are really deep into the ritualistic aspect to some of this, because they definitely believe in this stuff, whether you do or whether the rest of the world does or not. Some of these motherfuckers believe wholeheartedly in this occult, ritualistic type of spiritual aspect of control and power and magic over the populace. And I'm just wondering, you know, how widespread and how... I guess how low on the totem pole people will actually get involved with some of this stuff, you know?
Yeah, because remember even John Podesta like had that hand symbol thing that he drew on his hands.
Yeah.
It was like an eye and a fish or whatever, and he's got his creepy statues and all his nasty stuff. He's not all that powerful. I mean, he clearly is, but he's not like super high up, right? And I don't know, people like him. I wonder the same thing, that pizza guy.
Yeah,
Elephantus or whatever, like, he's not very high up, but he's clearly in the midst of this entire thing. And I don't know, the first time I saw like a supposed, and I believe them, I'm just saying supposed because I have no real evidence, person who survived satanic ritual abuse and escaped out of it, and the drawings that they made, those were covered in all of these occult symbols and symbology. And like you said, it doesn't matter if we believe in it or not, those people do. And like, they use astrology and they use all these things. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad either. But there's a reason why, right? And it's not a positive reason. It's not yet created utopia on Earth. And we have not yet seen them benefiting us on any sort of level. Clearly, it's for nefarious purposes, you know? And I'm always like, but why? Like, why?
Yeah.
Especially if you were abused into this, you know, why do you keep going on along with it? But I just imagine... You know, I think both you and I, Chris, have seen some pretty wild things in our life, both psychically and in reality. And I think we can both relate to how maybe, if not terrifying, at least like reality upsetting that can be, right? To experience something that seems not of this world or just, I don't know, what other people say was not real. I imagine some of these people are like, even... like Kesha or whatever, you know, like even like pop stars that are really low on whatever totem poles are going on. I imagine they were like taken somewhere, abused, drugged, whatever. And in some really, really deep state, they were maybe shown actual, you know, like portal into this other dimension, or like some entity was summoned or something really mind blowing happened that was like the end of their ability to deal with anything. Right? If you were just were pushed into that suddenly, you had no background in it at all, and you were maybe high, and maybe you had just been really severely abused, you
yeah.
know, like, I just wonder, and part of this came from watching that, what was her name, like, Cindy Williams or something, she was on, like, a New Year's episode of something, and she all of a sudden looked like she was seeing, like, some premonition or some, like, you know, presentation of the paranormal, and she just, like, went, I mean, she's a Black woman. She went like white, gray, and like almost like, and then she like passed out and freaked out. I was like, what did she just see?
Wow.
Was she like slipping off the track? And they were like, send the demon, you know, get her back. Like, I don't know what they do to these people, but I can imagine some pretty terrifying things. And I can imagine that people like have very little chance
yeah.
of resisting.
I don't know if you've ever heard any of the stories from Jay Parker, survivor of satanic ritual abuse, but he has had some pretty intense stories of them actual summoning entities in front of people and doing horrific things to break people's psyche, you know, showing them dismembered bodies and telling them they did it and all kinds of, you know, just horrific things that would just... you know, break you and probably fracture your personality into multiple personalities. I think that's the huge part of it. But when we're looking at the occult side of it, they do love to present it in TV and with celebrities and on movies. And I don't know if you've watched Netflix lately, But I do like to watch a few shows on Netflix. It's very interesting, especially to see the programming they're putting in there with occult aspects to it, like witchcraft, like Satanism, like things of this nature. It's blowing up on Netflix right now. Like, everything is occult and everything's about magic. Everything's about witches and demons and ghosts. But it's before Halloween. Like, this was before, you know, recently, of course. Right. It's almost up. But even before this, like, it's been really getting big. And of course, they like to put the programming in to kind of steer society in what direction they want to go. But at the same time, we're being steered into a more materialistic society, more technocratic society, less spiritual in some aspects, but they still want to put a little bit of occultism in our psyche. I find it very fascinating what they're doing right now with all that.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because they definitely don't want us to be, you know, really strong in our own soul, in our own, yeah, whatever our version of spirituality is, and whatever our version of taking care of our health and our emotions and our, they don't want that spirituality, whatever that looks like, put that away. But definitely go pick up whatever these tools are and start summoning random things and, like, yeah, opening portals, like, do that.
Summon a demon today.
Right. I know this has been going on for a while too. You know, the whole vampire thing was super huge, and the werewolves and whatever. And it's, like, more and more, but I haven't looked lately to see, but I completely believe you that this is just saturating everything now. And it's funny, because there's still people who will argue, you know, like, oh, everyone, like, looks down on witches and witches are so oppressed, but Christians are so powerful. I'm like, I don't think that's true anymore. No. I don't think that's been true for a long time, actually. I think that's just another, like, victim culture thing we're, like, holding on to. Because it seems like witches are pretty celebrated in almost every way, almost everywhere. Yes, maybe not in, like, the Deep South. I don't know. Maybe that's, like, the one holdout.
Maybe.
But,
well, you know, in the Deep South, my ex was a witch, so. But we won't go there anyway. Yeah. No, but yeah, I do see that. It's become a more celebrated type thing, and Christianity's been more frowned on, and all the, you know, more Christian or Abrahamic religions are being pushed to the side and celebrate a more occult type of, even science has become the new real religion right now. But, you know, we all know what that's about.
Yeah, truly. Science is an obsessive cult-like religion, and yes, it's insane. I love, someone just had this meme that I saw recently that was like, did you realize that to question science is science? I was like, let's tattoo that on our face so people will see it everywhere.
Yeah, that's great.
Like, come, like, on, people. It's really weird to me how they've convinced people to worship science while at the same time not do science. It's kind of like what we were just saying, like, worship our, like, idols and our methods and open portals, but don't have your own spirituality.
Yes.
Worship science, but don't have your own brain. They've even said things, right? Like, don't research this and don't question it. We're your one source of information, and don't go researching. It's dangerous. I'm like, you just told us it was dangerous to think. That's crazy.
yeah, they want to keep us looking to the outside and not to the inside, to the most important things that are going on right now.
Truly.
Now I want to go back to COVID and vax and apocalyptic stuff for a little bit. Australia is pretty bad off right now. I mean, they don't have guns. They're trying to, it seems like, you know, fight back here and there. If, you know, I really am concerned about what's going on there. And I don't know that the United States is that far off, but I know that we still have our guns. And I know that there's a lot of people that will never give up their guns unless you pry them from their fucking dead hands. So that, we got that going for us. But, I mean, it's like, seems like every effort they've made to disarm us has failed, and it's failed pretty big. I don't see how they would do this. I don't see if that's an agenda, because they'd have to do that before they did any kind of real takeover on us, you know? I would imagine they'd have to disarm everybody. Do you see that happening? And if so, how do you think this would occur?
If it's willingly, I can see people do it, which is what happened in Australia, right? They were like, come turn in your cash for guns for cash, or whatever stuff happened. And people were like, okay, yeah, this bad shooting happened, so I'll go get some money for my gun. I can see the short term why someone might have done that, not thinking about every single time in history that people have been disarmed. But Luckily, most of us, I think, know here, we're like the last bastion. We're like the last place where we still have some semblance of freedom and some documents that seem to enshrine that freedom and seem to hold it a little bit stronger than other places. Nowhere else really has it. And that doesn't mean some places haven't. Like Iceland is a really good example of a place that took back their government and got rid of the bankers, and it seems to be doing well. You know, anywhere has the potential to do this. But it's us, and I don't see them taking it. I see, in fact, every time they seem to have whatever false flag or whatever thing that tries to get people to go along with legislation and give up their guns, that actually gun sales just surge and soar. And people are like, fine, I'll get 5 more guns, you know? So it's almost like they're doing the opposite of what we think they're doing, which sometimes makes me wonder, do they want us to be really well armed because they're trying to get us to fight or have a civil war or do something like that, because there's a lot of that programming too. So
yeah,
I like guns. I have them. I promote their. I want other people to have them and know how to use them safely.
Yeah,
but I sometimes wonder, like, what is their real goal with that? Because they haven't been successful at all.
No, they haven't. But it's going to be fascinating to see what's happening, especially in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. We've already seen, like we were talking about earlier, they're moving way too fast for their own britches. I think that they're failing in so many aspects of this, and we're not noticing that they're failing because we're only seeing one side that they're pumping out to the media, their side, you know, their side of the story. That's it. But I think behind the scenes, they're scrambling, they're sweating, they're falling apart, and I don't think this is sustainable. No matter how they throw it at us, no matter how many boosters or false flags or what the fuck they do, I think that we, the majority, this is just my opinion, I don't know, my gut feeling, the majority of us are smarter than that, okay? I think there's a lot of dumb motherfuckers out there. But I think most of us are a little bit smarter than they give us credit for, and we're not going to let society crumble. I don't know, though. I mean, there's a chance. I could be wrong. What are you? To close out, what are your thoughts on that statement?
Well, I have the same feeling as you, and I hope that it's true and based on reality. And even if it's not a majority of people, maybe it's a sizable enough. You know, they talk about critical mass, and maybe it's enough to achieve critical mass. Because aside from, I don't trust their numbers. They're like, oh, we're at 70%. I mean, my friend has this screenshot of like one day what they said, it was like at 70%. And then 2 days later, they said it was 67%. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how did it go down? So I already know, we know they fudge numbers. So who knows what the real number even is of people who are vaccinated. And even then, how many have taken more than one? Right. I don't know if that's even something we can guess about. And then I always hear this. I know people personally who have had this experience where they've gone to their doctor and said, I really don't want to get this, but I feel like I have to. And if I don't, I'm gonna lose my job. And they're just stressed out and upset. And the doctor's like, oh, you mean this? And like inject it into an orange. It's always an orange or a mandarin. Every time I've heard this story from more than one person. And I'm like, okay, well, how many orange doctors are there out there? How many Mandarin doctors are there, right? Like, how many people are just saying they have it and don't actually have it? Because that gives me more hope than anything, that not only are their numbers wrong, but there's a ton of people who are like, totally, I'm totally vaccinated, and they're not at all. Right? Also shows that there's both doctors and regular people who are smarter than this agenda, who have seen that, like, here's my way through this and to sneak through this. So that gives me hope, too. We're well-armed. We've got a lot of smart people, and who knows how many allies we have, even in the camp that is saying, get vaccinated, I'm vaccinated, which I don't appreciate, but I understand why you could do it. And I kind of do appreciate on the side of like helping people sneak through this.
Yeah,
I wish
people
would just be honest and stand up, but I'm also like, whatever, at least we have this.
I mean, I agree. I would, you know, I myself would much rather go the honest route. But if you have to, you know, if this is the only way you're going to survive, if you feel like you know, this is your livelihood at stake and your children or whatever, do what you have to do, you know, fight that fucking system, lie your ass off, because they lied to you your whole goddamn life. So, you know, it's time to take it back. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on. That was awesome. Tell us, give us some shameless promotion. Tell us all about your podcast, anything you got coming up interesting, where people can find you, social media, stuff like that.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's super fun to talk to you always here or Day Zero or anywhere else. Yes. I do Rogue Ways and Middle Path are my two shows. Rogue Ways is about basically everything we talked about today and whatever else comes up. And Middle Path is a little bit more focused on the spiritual aspect of it. I am a spiritual teacher and healer. And so I like to bring in the practices on Middle Path and share some of those each time, but also just talk about various spiritual aspects of our lives. And I'm very down to earth and real about it. And so it's no bullshit and no new age. It's new age without the new age, you know?
Yes, I like that. Yeah. That's what it is. So, it's perfect. Yeah.
Yes. So it's the Middle Path. And those are the two shows. You can get them on Rockfin primarily is the like place I like to be. They are technically still on YouTube and some of them are other places like Rumble and DTube and BitChute and all this stuff, Odyssey and whatnot. But I'm not as good about keeping things posted in those various places, but they are there. And then you can always listen to any of them on podcasts, on any podcast app. Rogue Ways is there. And I just upload Middle Path with Rogue Ways. So if you're subscribed to Rogue Ways, you'll get Middle Path too. But I'm doing a new thing on Thursdays where we do hangouts. You know, we're all stressed, we're all kind of sad, and we're all kind of angry, and we're all dealing with like, what are we going to do next, and what are they going to do next, and whatnot. So I've decided to start doing hangouts on Thursdays where we can just be with other people who get it, because we don't always have those in our lives, a lot of us. Yeah. And so if you want to hang out with us on Thursdays, you can grab the link if you're a supporter on my Subscribestar. My rogue.locals.com is my locals community where you can support Rogue Ways and me, and or if you're a subscriber on Rockfin. So any of those places you can get that link and hang out with us. And I just do so much, I don't know how to say it all. So you can just go to rogueways.org and you can see my books I've written, and you can see the healing and spiritual work I do and the classes I teach and all the other stuff I do. So
sweetness.
Hopefully that wasn't too much.
No, perfect, Lindsay. Thank you so much. And we're gonna see you this Sunday. You're gonna be joining us on Day Zero as our special guest host. Always fun there. So and we're gonna have you back on soon, of course, to do another podcast with us, because it's always great. So thank you again for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun.
Awesome. Until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening, and we'll talk again Sunday.